Chapter 35, The Lovely Song of Prophecy. Years came and went as Ezekiel told the people the certainty of the overthrow of Jerusalem. They refused to believe it, but at last came the fatal day in January 587 BC, when the Babylonian army laid siege to Jerusalem. Ezekiel gathered up all his stern prophecies into a great sermon on the destruction of Israel. He drew a picture in speech of a rusty pot on the fire. Water was boiling in the pot, and pieces of meat were thrown into it. When they were thoroughly boiled, they were pulled out indiscriminately. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, set on the cauldron, set it on, and also pour water into it. Gather the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder. Fill it with the choice bones. Take the choice of the flock, and also a pile of wood for the bones under the cauldron. Make it boil well. Yea, let the bones thereof be boiled in the midst of it. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, woe to the bloody city, to the cauldron whose rust is therein, and whose rust is not gone out of it. Take out of it piece after piece. No lot is fallen upon it. This pulling out of the boiling flesh meant, as Ezekiel explained, the dispersion of the people who should be flung out among the nations. The fire should be very hot, and the flesh should be burnt. Moreover, when the pot was empty, it should stay still upon the fire until the rust was burned off it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, woe to the bloody city! I also will make the pile great. Heap on the wood, make the fire hot. Boil well the flesh, and make thick the broth, and let the bones be burned. Then set it empty upon the coals thereof, that it may be hot, and the brass thereof may burn, and that the filthiness of it may be molten in it, that the rust of it may be consumed. By this vigorous picture, Ezekiel implied that Jerusalem would be left long desolate until it should be cleansed. The word came to Ezekiel, and he repeated it to the people, that when a messenger should arrive from Jerusalem with the news that the city had actually been taken, then the people would know the truth of his prophecy. He declared that until that time came, he would remain silent, preaching no further word. True to his statement, Ezekiel had nothing to say to his countrymen for 2 full years. The siege of Jerusalem lasted about 18 months. After that, it required about 6 months for the news to travel. At last, the first fugitive arrived from the stricken city. All that Ezekiel had prophesied was confirmed when the messenger spoke the fatal word, "The city is smitten." Ezekiel need keep silence no longer. He could tell the people what they were at last fully prepared to hear. First of all, he wanted them thoroughly to understand why he had been preaching. He bade them consider what would be the duty of a watchman on the walls of a city when he saw an enemy coming near. It was not his duty to save the city. That was too great a task for one man, but it was his duty to warn the city. If he gave the warning, he had discharged his duty. If he failed to give the warning, he would be responsible for their calamity. And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them, and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, and the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Ezekiel bade the people consider that the case of a prophet was exactly the same as that of a watchman. He could not save the people, but he could warn them. Upon themselves was the personal responsibility for their fate. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, and thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he turn not from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. But he was anxious, now that the city had fallen and the trouble had come, that the people should believe in the justice and mercy of God. All that he had said to them before about personal salvation in national calamity, he repeated again. God never desired to punish men. He would always forgive the penitent, but he could not pass over transgressions when there was no repentance. Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord Jehovah, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? And thou, son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall he that is righteous be able to live thereby in the day that he sinneth. Ezekiel thought it exceedingly necessary that the people should understand the cause of the calamities that had fallen upon Israel. The leaders had been responsible. There had been weak and wicked kings. There had been greedy and tyrannical nobles. There had been unjust judges. There had been lying prophets. He pictured very touchingly the people of Judah as a flock of sheep. Sheep are dependent on their shepherds. They can only go where the shepherds lead. Judah had been badly led. The flock of Jehovah had been unfaithful shepherds. In pathetic and striking words, Ezekiel reproaches the shepherds for the way they have treated the flock. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, even to the shepherds, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill the fatlings, but ye feed not the sheep. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought back that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with rigor have ye ruled over them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food to all the beasts of the field and were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my sheep were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and there was none that did search or seek after them. He is very sure that the flock is to be blessed in the good days that are coming. Jehovah himself will be their shepherd. He will bring the flock together and lead them into rich pastures. For thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I myself, even I, will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered abroad, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places whither they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Ezekiel does not forget the old prophecies of the coming of a good king of the line of David. He looks forward to the day when the shepherd of the flock appointed by the great divine shepherd shall be a good king of the line of David. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, Jehovah, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, Jehovah, have spoken it. Naturally, the vindication of Ezekiel's preaching by the fall of Jerusalem turned the attention of the people more seriously toward him. No one in Babylon had expected the calamity except Ezekiel. He was proved to be right. They talked together about the prophet. They urged one another to go and hear him. They declared that he spoke beautifully as a very lovely song. Ezekiel found a popularity that he had never before experienced, but he well knew that it was not heartfelt and that the people would not yet reform. And as for thee, son of man, the children of thy people talk of thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from Jehovah. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but do them not. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their gain. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, behold, it cometh, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them.